Today on the Undivided Podcast, Jeff Bezos is tired of President Biden using him as a scapegoat to excuse inflation. Plus, the debate over white replacement theory after a deadly shooting in Buffalo.
And they hate it when you say that because it's true. Our country's being invaded by the rest of the world.
Also, the gender identity debate in schools hits a whole new level of crazy in Wisconsin.
He said he's being allegedly charged with sexual harassment for not using proper pronouns.
Thank you to the founding sponsor of Undivided, 1530 Mortgage. Visit them at 1530mortgage.com. I'm Brandi Cruz. You're listening to the Undivided Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, I've done the podcast in a lot of weird places. I think I did it in Mexico City once. And as you guys know, I've been in New York City the last couple days. I'm currently doing this podcast in an airport lounge at JFK. So that's it. You know, there's always work to be done in giving common sense a comeback. The podcast can't stop just because I'm out of town, right? Jeff Bezos. So we talked on the podcast on Friday about all the people who President Biden is blaming for inflation, as opposed to just focusing like a laser on trying to address the issue. He's been putting out this flurry of tweets. I have no doubt they're trying to change public perception of this issue leading up to the midterms. He has blamed Republicans. He has blamed Putin, calling it Putinflation or whatever. He's blamed the pandemic. And look, is there a little bit of truth to the pandemic, a little bit of truth to Putin? Of course there is. But the point I was making on the podcast on Friday is, look, you're the president. You signed up for this job. And at the end of the day, every single problem in the country is your problem. So start treating it like your problem and stop playing the blame game on Twitter. Now, another person over the weekend who got very, very tired of President Biden playing the blame game was Amazon founder Jeff Bezos. And look, I'll say about Jeff Bezos on Twitter, he's not really usually one to get into the mix or into the mud of Twitter. And so I think that's why these tweets surprised me in part. So Jeff Bezos ended up responding to one of these many tweets from the president, blaming a variety of sources, but it wasn't Putin, it wasn't Republicans, it wasn't the pandemic. He, of course, was blaming rich people now for the state of the country and inflation. The president tweeted on May 13th, "You want to bring down inflation? Let's make sure the wealthiest corporations pay their fair share." First of all, the first line just cracks me up. This is the president of the United States, and he's asking, what, Twitter? You want to bring down inflation? Yeah, Mr. President, we would really love you to bring down inflation. So it's his next line that got the attention of Jeff Bezos. "Let's make sure the wealthiest corporations pay their fair share." So Jeff Bezos responded to that by saying, "The newly created disinformation board should review this tweet, or maybe they need to form a new non sequitur board instead. Raising corporate taxes is fine to discuss. Taming inflation is critical to discuss. Mushing them together is just misdirection." And Jeff Bezos went on to say how the administration, had not been for moderate Senator Joe Manchin, would have made inflation even worse when they were trying to inject even more money into the economy. Jeff Bezos saying, "In fact, the administration tried hard to inject even more stimulus into an already overheated inflationary economy, and only Manchin saved them from themselves. Inflation is a regressive tax that most hurts the least affluent. Misdirection doesn't help the country." And that's sort of the point I was making on Friday, which is the president can blame anyone he wants for the current situation, the economic situation. He can blame Putin, he can blame the pandemic, he can blame Republicans. But at the end of the day, he's the president, and it is misdirection. And it's clear misdirection during a midterm election. And so Jeff Bezos is saying, okay, I'm going to be the latest misdirection. Everybody loves to blame Amazon for everything and rich people for everything. So it's an easy target for President Biden just to push the blame off onto people like Jeff Bezos. But Jeff Bezos was not having it on Twitter. So the White House ended up responding to Jeff Bezos and his series of tweets. And their response is really predictable. The White House writing, "It doesn't require a huge leap to figure out why one of the wealthiest individuals on earth opposes an economic agenda for the middle class that cuts some of the biggest costs families face, fights inflation for the long haul, and adds to the historic deficit reduction the president is achieving by asking the richest taxpayers and corporations to pay their fair share." It's also unsurprising that this tweet comes after the president met with labor organizers, including Amazon employees. So, of course, the White House spins it as, oh, the rich guy just wants to keep more of his money and he's trying to distract you. And it's been the president who's been distracting on the issue of inflation all this time, as opposed to, again, focusing like a laser on how do we fix this for American families. So Jeff Bezos called them out on this, and I love that he's not backing down. He said, look, a squirrel. This is the White House's statement about my recent tweets. They understandably want to muddy the topic. They know inflation hurts the neediest the most, but unions aren't causing inflation, and neither are wealthy people. Remember, the administration tried their best to add another $3.5 trillion to federal spending. They failed, but if they had succeeded, inflation would be even higher than it is today, and inflation today is at a 40-year high. And so just one more person who Biden is trying to blame for inflation deciding to stand up for himself and say, look, you can blame the rich guy, you can blame the Amazon guy. I know that's easy for you. I know it plays to your base, but it's not going to do anything to solve the issue of inflation in this country. Coming up, a middle school in Wisconsin becomes center stage for the gender identity debate in America. More on that coming up. I want to talk about the founding sponsor of Undivided, 1530 Mortgage. And specifically, I want to have a conversation about cash out refis. This is something more and more people are considering. I spoke with Rich Hunt, the founder of 1530 Mortgage, about cash out refis and about who might benefit from one. Is it okay if you're somebody who's struggling financially to do a cash out refi to help you get by, or is that not a good use of that?
No, I would say it was probably the best use of it. It's a strategy that basically is going to let you get out of debt, and you're using your home to do that. It would be nice to save some money and put something away rather than give it to the banks and their high interest credit card debt.
So if you're interested in a cash out refi, or maybe you just have some questions about it to see if it's right for you, give my friends at 1530 Mortgage a call, 206-207-7777. Tell them you heard about them on the Undivided podcast. You can also visit them at 1530mortgage.com. 1530 Mortgage, NMLS ID 1761573, equal housing opportunity. For informational purposes only, not an offer to extend credit. Credit approval required. Information and or dates are subject to change without notice, not available in all states. Certain programs may not be eligible. Other restrictions may apply. One of the biggest 2022 midterm sort of battleground issues continues to play out in schools, and this whole conversation around gender identity, sexual orientation, how those issues are talked about in school, how those issues are dealt with in school. Of course, you had Florida's Parental Rights in Education Act, which the media dubbed the Don't Say Gay Bill. Well, I want to take you to a middle school in Wisconsin where things have been taken to a whole new level. Keel Middle School in Wisconsin is lodging a Title IX complaint against three middle school students. These are eighth graders who are like 13 years old. The accusation is sexual harassment against these students. Now, what did they do to sexually harass someone? I mean, sexual harassment is a very serious thing. Well, apparently, these students misgendered a fellow student and refused to refer to that student with they, them pronouns. I've absolutely got to play you this news report from Fox 11, the local Fox affiliate where this school is at.
An investigation into three Keel middle school students has been launched.
The school district has filed a Title IX complaint accusing the students of using incorrect pronouns while addressing another student. Fox 11's Monique Lopez spoke with the parent of one of the students in this Project Education report.
I received a phone call from the principal over at the elementary school forewarning me, letting me know that I was going to be receiving an email with sexual harassment allegations against my son.
Rosemary Rabideau's 13-year-old son, Braden, is one of the three 8th grade Keel Middle School students accused of sexual harassment, something she disputes.
He said he's being allegedly charged with sexual harassment for not using proper pronouns. I thought it wasn't real. One has nothing to do with the other.
According to the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, or WILL, now defending the accused students, in March, one of their peers announced the pronouns they prefer to be addressed as, they or them. One of the alleged incidents Braden and the others were supposedly involved in happened in April.
She had been screaming at one of Braden's friends to use proper pronouns, calling him profanity. And this friend is, you know, very soft-spoken and kind of just sunk down into his chair. And Braden finally came up defending him, saying he doesn't have to use proper pronouns. It's his constitutional right to not use. You can't make him say things.
Some might say or think that you or your son are against the LGBTQ plus community.
Not at all. Not at all. My children have been raised to love everybody equally.
Shortly after finding out her son was being investigated, Rosemary reached out to Will.
Title IX sexual harassment typically covers things like rape, dating violence, quid pro quo sexual favors, right? Really egregious stuff. There's nothing even remotely close to that alleged in this case.
Will says the school district's policy doesn't cover the misuse of pronouns, and neither does Title IX.
So just a quick refresher on Title IX, if you're not familiar. It's a federal civil rights law. It was passed in 1972, and it prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex in any school or education entity that gets funding from the federal government. So basically, the school is saying, hey, we're going to charge you with Title IX violations or lodge Title IX violations against you because you've misgendered a fellow student. Now, look, I try very hard to use someone's preferred gender pronouns. If I'm aware that they prefer they, them, as opposed to she, her, or he, him, it's really no skin off my back to just call someone by the pronouns that they refer. I tend to just default to using someone's name because honestly, the whole pronouns thing just gets confusing for me grammatically. The they, them thing is confusing. And so I'll just refer, like if somebody's name is Susan and Susan wants to be called they, them as opposed to she, her, I'll just say, oh, hey, Susan, or this is Susan. And then that way I get around the whole gender identity issue altogether and just use somebody's freaking name. But to lodge some sort of formal complaint against some 13-year-olds. And look, I know 13-year-olds can be nasty. I don't know if these kids were doing this to intentionally try to hurt someone's feelings. And if they are, you know, that's bullying and that's not cool. And that person's parents really need to step up and teach them how to treat other people with respect as opposed to tear other people down. But for the school to get involved in this way, when you have a student who identifies as non-binary, wants other students to use they, them pronouns, and other students aren't, they're kids, they're teenagers. I mean, the chances of all the teenagers at a particular school using your preferred gender pronouns is pretty slim. And frankly, the realistic possibility as you go about your life of other people out in the world using your preferred gender pronouns as opposed to the gender pronouns that, you know, match perhaps more closely with your appearance is slim as well. All you can ask, I guess, is that people do their best if it's really something that is going to bother you, if someone misgenders you, which I know it does. In fact, I was Jonathan Cho over the former Como reporter who's been out covering protests. He was covering a pro-choice protest over the weekend when he got absolutely verbally harassed by a protester who he misgendered inadvertently.
Are you not listening? I'm a woman being followed by a man who's not a gentleman. You are fired.
I thought you were a dude. Oh, my bad.
It says it right on my seat.
I didn't know that. Sorry, sir. Ma'am, I mean. Ma'am.
Get the f*** out of here! Get the f*** out of here! You
ma'am, I'm sorry.
No.
So look, this story out of Wisconsin just shows how out of control the school atmosphere has gotten. And look, I understand that you want all your students to feel like they're respected, that they're not treated differently on the basis of sex or race or gender identity. And that's a very noble thing for a school to try to achieve. But you also have to remember, these are kids. These are teenagers, preteens in some cases. And they're dealing with a complex issue that is fairly new to American society. And that's the idea of even very young kids having different gender identities. And so to use something like Title IX against some teenagers who, yeah, maybe they're bullying a kid or something, I don't know. That's an issue that the parents clearly need to deal with. And maybe there's some other punishments that you can make. You know, give a good old-fashioned detention or something. So this story out of Wisconsin is just an example of how this situation has really completely gotten out of control in schools. And that's why education is going to continue to be a major issue into the midterm elections for sure, probably well beyond that, especially now that schools have become, even at very, very young ages, this sort of battleground on political and social issues, when that's really not what a school should be. And I do feel bad for this kid who is hurt by being misgendered. You know, I'm sure that that can't be easy. But there are other ways for a school to deal with perceived bullying than filing a Title IX complaint against some kids. There have been several horrific shootings in America over the past couple days. One of them happened in Buffalo, New York, at a grocery store. The suspect is a white 18-year-old, and he's accused of shooting 13 people, killing 10 of them. And most of the people who he killed were Black. And according to authorities and a manifesto that this young man had written, he researched zip codes in New York where there would be a high percentage of Black residents. And that's why he went to Buffalo to carry out this shooting. He ended up streaming it live on a gaming platform. And he also said specifically he was motivated by a conspiracy theory called the Great Replacement, or replacement theory. And this is really something that the mainstream media has latched onto as a motive, because it had already been a point of conversation surrounding Tucker Carlson at Fox News. There have been accusations, and the New York Times did this expose, that Tucker Carlson explicitly promotes this idea of replacement theory on his highly watched Fox News show. And that is that he is riling up white Americans to believe that the government and institutions and politics are trying to replace the mostly white population with, for instance, immigrants, thinking that immigrants would be more likely to vote for Democrats and therefore they could keep power for longer. Here are some clips from Tucker Carlson that people have been using to say that he is peddling this idea of replacement theory.
Now, I know that the left and all the little gatekeepers on Twitter become literally hysterical if you use the term replacement, if you suggest that the Democratic Party is trying to replace the current electorate, the voters now casting ballots, with new people, more obedient voters from the third world. But they become hysterical because that's what's happening, actually. Let's just say it. That's true. Let's say that again for emphasis, because it is the secret to the entire immigration debate. Demographic change is the key to the Democratic Party's political ambitions. In other words, you're being replaced and there's nothing you can do about it. So shut up. I mean, they're trying to change the population of the United States. And they hate it when you say that because it's true. Our country's being invaded by the rest of the world.
Now, this shooting and this debate happened this weekend. And like I said, I was in New York City and I went quick over to Staten Island and on the ferry, and I was looking at the Statue of Liberty and just was reminded of the promise of this country. Bring us your poor, bring us your tired, bring us your huddled masses yearning to be free. And so I've always tried to remember that when it comes to the debate around immigration in this country. Now, do I believe that there are issues with our immigration system? 100%, 1,000%. You cannot look at what's happening at our southern border and not see issues related to illegal immigration in this country and an overwhelmed system when it comes to legal immigration, a system that makes it very hard to legally immigrate into this country and a system that makes it far too easy to come into this country undocumented. But have I ever, one time, looked at the issue of the southern border and thought, gosh, they're trying to replace me. They're trying to replace white people. Of course not. It's never even crossed my mind. I think the issues that most normal conservatives look at is a concern over who's coming into the country, whether drugs are coming into the country, and whether terrorists are coming into the country, and whether you're going to have people who are living off the taxpayer dollar who are not paying into the system and who are not legal residents of this country. All those things are worthy of contemplation. What doesn't make any sense to me is this idea or this fear that America is going to become less white. Like I said, America was never intended or designed to be white. That was never really the promise of the country. And I do see how some of the things Tucker Carlson has said could anger people who are already racist in this country and could give white people who feel like the system is out to get them a motivation to do something dangerous. And just last week on the podcast, I talked about the statement from Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, and how she was making a call to arms of the LGBTQ+ community, worried that Their rights would be next after Roe v. Wade falls. And one of the things I said last week is words matter. And for her to make a call to arms in her already violent city, and I said if a Republican had said that, people would lose their minds over it. And so I do feel like it's perfectly fine territory to question what Tucker Carlson is saying and to question how it might motivate people to do things that are violent or extreme. Tucker Carlson is one of the most powerful media personalities in the entire world, if not the most powerful media personality. His words matter, and they are absolutely open to dissection and to interpretation. Now, that being said, I believe the topic that we continue to lose track of and sight of in these conversations around mass murder in this country and shootings in this country is the mental health crisis. I don't understand why, as a society, we have not continued to look at that and to be realistic about that as a major contributing factor, not only to mass shootings, but to some of the other criminal issues that we're dealing with in society. In Seattle, we've talked a lot about the drug epidemic and the homeless crisis and petty low-level crime just exploding. A lot of those people are dealing with mental health issues as well, yet we have an absolutely deteriorating mental health system in this state and in this country. The wrong words hitting the ears of an already mentally ill person is a recipe for disaster. Now, that being said, in the state of our society, how prolific social media is, the amount of voices that you can get in the palm of your hand on your cell phone, you can't prevent hateful words or hateful speech from reaching mentally ill individuals. The only thing you can do is deal with the root cause of the problem that would lead someone to hear something or read something about replacement theory and to go out, Google search what neighborhood in their state has the most black people and to go commit mass murder. There are millions, millions of people who watch Tucker Carlson's show. Are we having millions and millions of mass shootings in this country driven by racism? No. It's the same way I don't blame someone like Joy Reid over on MSNBC for the Black Lives Matter violence that happened in the summer of 2020. Now, do I think that the media was grossly irresponsible in how it reported on it and downplaying the seriousness of it? Absolutely. But I don't believe it was the media or shows like Joy Reid that directly contributed to people taking to the streets. Now, Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg did an interview on Face the Nation, and he made a call for people all across the political spectrum to speak out about this kind of hatred.
This would be a good day for every politician in this country, left, right, and center, every media figure in this country, left, right, and center, to come out and unequivocally condemn white nationalism, so-called replacement theory, and any other hateful ideology that could have contributed to something like this before it happens again.
And look, that's great. And I think Pete Buttigieg is very eloquent when he was running for president. He's a candidate who I liked very much. And to me, it's easy to, yeah, of course. Of course you should speak out against white supremacy or that kind of hatred when it happens. It's a very easy thing to do. It's a very obvious thing to do. Yeah, shooting people in mass is bad. Shooting people is bad. Hating people because of the color of their skin is bad. To me, that kind of goes without saying, and it also doesn't address the root cause of the issue, and that is, why the hell can you have someone in this country, and have it happen not infrequently, that they hear something or read about something and it motivates them to commit murder when it doesn't motivate hundreds of thousands or millions of other people who've heard the exact same thing to commit murder? We as a country continue to fail to get a hold of the real crisis, which I truly believe is a mental health crisis. Now, do I believe it's particularly helpful for Tucker Carlson, given the size of his audience, to be spreading fear and discord over an issue like replacement theory? Of course not. But I also don't think he should be kicked off Fox. I don't think he should have the FCC, you know, pull Fox's license, because I also believe in free speech in this country. And again, millions and millions and millions of people watch Tucker Carlson's show and don't go out and commit mass murder. And if Tucker Carlson was not on the air, you would still have mass murders in this country. You would still have mass shootings in this country because you have not dealt with the actual issue. That's it for this episode of the Undivided Podcast, brought to you from an airport lounge at JFK. Very exciting. I'm going to go eat some food before I fly back to Seattle. But I will be back in Seattle later this evening. And it was fun to sort of do some of my stuff from New York, visiting a friend and to see New York City after I've heard so much about the state of things. I still think it's a little better off than Seattle, as I discussed on the podcast on Friday. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. And thank you to the founding sponsor of Undivided, 1530 Mortgage. Visit them at 1530mortgage.com.